The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
So this is our fourth and final day of this four-day meditation retreat on the practices of mindfulness and calm abiding called Stabilizing the Restless Mind. I'm just looking at our what we were supposed to be doing here, and I think we did pretty good. We received instruction and guidance in the various practices of the Samatha or Calm Abiding Meditation tradition in a systematic and developmental manner which allowed us to learn, practice, and experience the way of mental tranquility, stability, and clarity that has supported Buddhist practitioners for thousands of years. So this is the final day of retreat. In a few hours it will come to an end. So we have to be very careful, because we are always creating, well, turning thoughts and images in our mind into real things. So many of us had a thought or an image around retreat. Maybe we were looking forward to it, excited. Maybe we were worried. Maybe there was a little bit of anticipation or anxiety about it, right? And then during the course of these last 4 days, many of us have had all kinds of mind states. All kinds of states. All kinds of thoughts. Right? About yourself, about the retreat, about whatever. Where is it all? Where is it all? Well, it's not even in your mind anymore. Where is it all? It's gone. To really understand that and to be able to live with that understanding is called wisdom. So all that has happened over these last 4 days, I mean, retreat is just a name. I mean, there's no thing called retreat. It's a name for this. And what is this? This is just life, right? We call it a retreat, but all we've done, moment to moment, is just had an experience. Isn't that true? Like, this is an experience, by the way. Right? This is what might be called a living experience. So, right now we're having a living experience here. In a few hours you'll go home and you'll have a living experience there. Or there. Or there. But it'll be the same exact thing. You'll be present and having an experience. Isn't that true? But it's the mind that's constantly pigeonholing things and putting things into boxes, good boxes, bad boxes, wanted boxes, unwanted boxes, should boxes, shouldn't boxes. And so we're just like, life is just cut up in pieces. And so we feel like we're in pieces. We don't feel whole, and we don't feel life is whole, and we don't feel we're just in the stream of life, so to speak, like a river just flowing along. The river is always the river. Sometimes it's calm, sometimes it's agitated, right? Going through rapids. Sometimes it flows very slowly. Sometimes it goes very fast. But it's all the same river, isn't it? We need to reflect in this way so we don't keep agitating our minds with all this future thinking, with all this concern about and worry about, planning for, and ruminating about, going over the past. And even in the present, learn just to be with the experience of whatever's arising. What is that called? Samatha. That's what we're learning here. For 4 days, what we've been trying to learn is to be present. To be present to whatever it is. To be present to a rock, to be present to my breath, to be present to my mind's awareness, to be present to the space between thoughts. Present to trees and flowers and birds and food. Right? I mean, isn't that all we've been doing here? So in the truest sense, we've been learning how to live life. We have to go on retreat in order to learn how to live life. Get rid of all the distractions and all the responsibilities so we can just focus and go, oh, this is life. Right? And this is easy. I mean, all you got to do is put one foot in front of the other. All you got to do is show up and be present. Right? If there's something to be done, do it. If there's nothing to be done, relax. What am I missing here? I mean, could it be so simple? There's just life. Things are happening. We call it good. We call it bad. We call it wanted. We call it unwanted. But that's our projection onto life. All that's happening in life is life is unfolding. People are doing whatever they're doing. Situations are unfolding the way they're unfolding. The world is unfolding the way it is unfold, you know. Right? That's all that's going on. And yet we have so many layers that prevent us from just embracing, well, first seeing life just as it is, and then embracing it and living it. Now, again, there are many teachings in the tradition that help us learn how to live in this life in a compassionate and wise way, an intelligent way. So to create the least suffering for ourselves and others and to do the most good. So there's a certain kind of life skills, you know, that we can learn. But the fundamental learning is just how can I show up in life in the presence of the moment, without all the baggage, without all the projections, without all the needs and wants, without all the judgments. Right? And again, samatha, single point of concentration, learning to live in the present moment, is a very fundamental support for us learning how to do that. Hopefully, over these past three, 4 days, as opposed to when we arrived here on Thursday, today is Monday, you know, we have a better sense of what these teachings and practices are. Now, have you attained complete, absolute, perfect samatha? Right? If you have, stand up. We will all bow to you. You know, Buddhism gives us the skills to lead a good life. Right? But they have to be practiced. That's all. You know, in a certain way, what we've been doing here the last 4 days, we've been like in school. right? You know, we've gone through a learning experience. You know, many people go on retreats for the experience, right? And they say, wow, I had a great retreat. Many people, you know, and they keep going back, really had a wonderful retreat. Wonderful teachings, wonderful atmosphere, wonderful people, you know, people, you know, and this goes on for years and decades. They have wonderful retreats, wonderful experience, loved it all. You might know people like that. You might even be one of those yourself. And then you go home, and they go home, and what? Same old, right? But thank God there's a retreat coming up in 6 months. Now again, is it nice to be nourished in the way we are by going on retreat? Yes. But if we don't learn anything that we can take back into life to transform our life, our daily life, then ultimately it is of little use. Right? So really what we've been going through for 4 days is an educational process. We have heard the teachings, we have reflected on the teachings, and we've practiced the teachings, right? So we can go back into our life, our moment-to-moment life, our real life, so to speak, and transform it. And not transform it by transforming everybody else around us, which is a usual our operating mode, but by transforming ourselves. When you transform yourself, you have taken a very important step for transforming the world, because we are part of the world. We are deeply connected to the world. So your transformation, your personal transformation, your personal healing is important for the world. You know, who's elected? I think we're going to an election soon, right? Who's elected or who's not elected has some short-term meaning. But we know that the meaning of that can totally change 4 years later or 2 years later, right? I mean, that's just the nature of this world. But your own personal transformation can be consistent. Do we work for the transformation of the world? Of course we do. But each of us is one part of the world, and there are many other parts in this world that make up this world, most of which are beyond our control. But the one thing we do have control over is our own minds and the actions of our body, speech, and mind. Every human being has that. That is the gift that we've each received. See, that is the great gift we receive from our parents, whatever kind of parents they were. They gave us life, and part of life is having this mind. And this mind of ours is capable of discriminating wholesome from unwholesome, good from bad, right from wrong, right way, wrong way. Each of us is endowed with that mind. But we have to learn how to use it. And we have to learn the appropriate criteria to apply it to. These days, you know, many people think, the greatest use of their intelligence is making money. The greatest use of their intelligence is getting more things for themselves. The greatest use of their intelligence is getting power over others. You know, that is a misuse of our intelligence. You know, all the great teachers, the Buddha of only one, have used their intelligence to understand the human condition and why people suffer and what is the path to happiness, the freedom from suffering. And so each of us have that capacity within our own minds to do that for ourselves. And we are of good fortune, you know, that we don't have to find it all out ourselves. There is a path, a well-trodden path, thousands of years. Many, 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 many people have walked this path and have transformed themselves, awakened themselves, healed themselves. You know, it's tried and true. It's proven. We are fortunate that we are alive at a time when there are still teachers, living teachers. You don't just have to read about it in the books. There are living teachers teaching the Dharma, teaching the way. There are practice centers, retreat centers. I mean, we are so fortunate that this is still available to us. You know, there are many parts of the world where this is not available. There's nobody showing them the way out. So those of us who, you know, by good fortune or we just stumbled into it one day, you know, we are fortunate. And that should make us happy that we have such good fortune, that we have found the path that leads to the end of suffering and shows us very clearly how to walk it. That should make us happy every day when we wake up, no matter what's going on in the external world. No matter what's going on at work, no matter what's going on with the kids. Each of us within ourselves have that capacity. And we, of course, as you've learned, we have to remember that. We have to remind ourselves. How often do we have to remind ourselves? Well, for hard-headed people like us, a lot. That's what Post-its are for. Tattoos on your forehead, you know. Here we are hard-headed. As well as our culture does not support what we're talking about here. It supports a very different kind of purpose and meaning in life. So, we have a little time this morning, and really what I'd like to do is answer any questions. I mean, now some people ask questions, and I said, well, you know, I want to keep everything to the retreat. But now, in a few hours, we will be returning to our life, or, you know. And let me just warn everybody. You have been on retreat. They haven't. Right? So if you go home expecting everybody in your world to have been transformed in your absence, or be on the same wavelength you are, you will be deeply disappointed. And your disappointment is only your own fault. They have not been on retreat. They're still living the life they've always lived, working the way they've always worked. Okay? And so we need to understand that. So we're going back into life. It'll be pretty much the same. We don't know what the news is. The way it's been going lately, it could only be worse, right? So, you know, I mean, here we are. This is our world, and this is the world we're going to go back to. So what I want to talk to you about, answer your questions, you know, personally, you know, any questions about the practice, and now any questions about how to take it into your life. So I am open to hearing any questions or concerns. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How can I, my practice is trying to stay present without thinking?
Mm-hmm.
How can I create a gatekeeper without thinking?
Hold on. It's interesting what you said, Bruce.
Yes.
You said, I'm trying to stay present without thinking. But your thinking mind thinks, Bruce. Have you noticed that? That's like saying, I'm trying to stay present without the birds chirping. I don't want any sounds.
I'm talking about external thoughts coming in. I'm trying to say,
what external thoughts coming in?
Myriad external thoughts. I'm trying, always trying.
Hold on. Bruce, I know you're an intelligent man, probably accomplished. Can I check with everybody else? Bruce says there are all these thoughts coming at him. Can anybody see them?
Yes.
Just look around the room. I mean, does anybody see any thoughts or anybody having the same problem, that thoughts are coming at you? That's Sergio, you're saying they are coming at you? Really? Hold on. Let's slow this down. There are thoughts coming at you from the external world. Well, are they actually, what's actually happening, Bruce? I mean, right now, you and I are right here. Is there anything coming at you? Really? It's coming at you. To me. You mean you are hearing sounds? You don't have to interpret. Bruce. Anybody ever tell you maybe overthink things? I mean, just.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not the. Somehow I thought I was not the first person. Okay, Bruce, if you really want to liberate yourself, you're going to have to uneducate yourself. There's nothing coming at you, Bruce. Just relax. There are just sounds arising. That's all that's going on right now. Isn't that true? Simply sounds. Right? And as these sounds are arising, there's a knowing quality of your mind that understands that these are words and what they're saying. Is that true? You don't have to do anything, do you? No. Why can't you just leave it at that? I speak, you listen. The bird chirps. How wonderful. Eating lunch, you taste. I mean, what's there to think about? What's there to worry about? There's nothing coming at you. A distraction, how do you define distraction? What if you're, there's a thing in Zen which says, for archery, if you have no target, anywhere your arrow hits is a bullseye. Do you understand that? Yeah. Just relax. Be aware. You know, when you're practicing single point of concentration, do your best. You know, ideas of success or failure are just your ideas. Your mind couldn't care less. Your mind couldn't care less. It takes everything. Don't make this too hard. It's very simple. Good, thank you. Other questions? Mm-hmm. Yes, Tammy.
So when I'm here and I'm meditating, it's generally a thought comes in and you keep away from it, see it, look on it. When I'm at home, it's a party, and I don't know how to really take it.
Yeah. So the best thing is not to, for now. Oh, the question is, when I'm, here I do pretty good. You know, the thoughts come in, I'm pretty good at sort of letting them be or letting them go out or giving them a little nudge. It seems workable in these kind of ideal laboratory conditions. At home, it's, that's like science, right? The laboratory is ideal conditions, right? But if the experiment is really successful, it has to be replicated in real life. And so that's what you're saying. Oh, so here we're in the lab, ideal conditions. We're in silence, everybody's doing the same thing. You're going to go home, nobody's on this page. I understand. And that's the condition for most of us. I mean, we don't, you know, this is not a Buddhist culture. This is not a culture where mindfulness and meditation, living the present moment, is sort of the cultural norm. Right, so we're the oddballs. Okay. Now, we have to be careful of how we frame things. So even when you said, when I come home, it's sort of like what Bruce was just saying about, you know, he's under attack by these thoughts. When you said, when I get home, an army, I mean, that's a very strong, we've got to be careful, because already, and we're doing this all the time, we're linguistically naming things, and we're often naming things in very strong ways that are already setting us up. It's like, you know, it's like if you said, like, you know, as soon as I get home, I'm under attack, right? So, I mean, if you said, you didn't quite say that, but it was sort of like that. But can you see already it's like negative, right? Already I have to be ready. Already, you see what I'm saying? It's so we have to be careful. Okay. Now, I don't live in your house, but I would imagine all what you're talking about is when you get home, you have children and you have a husband. And they'll be doing whatever they do. And they'll be talking to you and asking you to do things, and, you know, right? And then you go to your workstation and there'll be a pile of, all right? And at that point, stop and breathe. Come back to yourself. When you see yourself starting to get in that old mode, you gotta talk her down. Okay, talk her down. I mean, this is important, right? You got to take breaks to continually refresh yourself, because, as you say, here you're getting it. You know, Fred, Angie, Brian, you know, other people are constantly giving you reminders. We say meal chants. You know what I mean? We have these little, refreshers. Yeah. Well, Tammy, I hate to tell you this, you're going to have to start moving more slowly. Well, all right, hold on. I'm not that slowly. No, see, that's wonderful. You see, that I'm learning about you. See, you are under siege. I can see your mentality. Because your mentality is, if I open the door for 1 minute, the enemy's going to be in. Did you hear what you just did? I mean, I said, slow it down a little bit, and you went, catastrophe. You know? I think that's very revealing for many of us. You know what I mean? We live in that mentality. Okay, you know, it's not going to happen that way. You know, slow it down so you're just a little more present and a little more mindful, and just taking one thing at a time. You know, it's like, hold on. You know, I'm talking to your sister now. When I'm done, I'll talk to you. You know what I mean? I mean, then you can begin to, you know, order things. Hold on, I'm cooking right now. You know what I'm saying? Don't, you know, if it has been out of control, then it doesn't mean that's in our life we don't need to do things, you know, to slow it down a little bit. Kids are kids, you know what I mean? Husbands are husbands, you know. But you can take some control of the process. But the main thing is you got to watch your own mind that you don't speed up too fast, right? Obviously, yeah, the pace is, at home, when you have family and work, is different. I'm not denying that. But the problem is our mind speeds up. You know, and you know, the you know, it's funny, when I used to work years ago and I would work with people, a lot of working people, stressed, you know, so many things to do. You know, and I'd say, you know what you remind me of? It's like, let's say you have 20 things to do, right? Or 50 things to do. Right? If you put each of those 50 things on a 2x5 card, a 3x5 card, and each one of them, and then you put them all over your desk. Just, they're all over your desk. 50 things to do. Well, when you come in there, it's overwhelming. Right? It's like 50 things to do. What do I do for? Okay. But if you took those 50 things and you made them in a pile, and all you saw was the first thing to do, that's doable. And this is why it is so important that we not let the mind race off. You know, a lot of times we're doing this, but always thinking about the next 10 things we got to do. That is stressful. That makes you anxious. The mind can't handle it. So when you feel stressed or anxious or, you know, it's because your mind is just can't handle that too. You're giving it too much stimulation. So, you know, in Zen we say, do one thing at a time. You know, you could have 10 things to do, but as you're doing each one, just do that. That is mindfulness. You see what I'm saying? That's concentration. That is not, again, you know, the pace we move here is slow. I mean, it's delightful. You know, it's very refreshing, you know. Again, I often say to people, now I know you work at home, right? But I mean, it's sort of like, you know, people don't know have to know what you're doing. You know, like, you know, you can go to Publix, right? Or wherever you shop, you know. You know, you can. No. I meant when you go shopping. You know, you get out of your car, and rather than racing into Publix and blah, 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 you know, walk slowly. You know, use those opportunities. You know, to just slow it down. I mean, if you get into Publix, you know, 1 minute later, it doesn't matter. You see, and as you go through Publix, you know, as you're walking, just slow it down and be present. You know, for people like you who have a very busy life, right? You know, you don't have like retirees or something. You know, can go for a walk here and do that. You know what I mean? Don't have that kind of freedom. So you have to maximize it throughout your day. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, he recommends like, you know, which is a wonderful practice. When the phone rings, don't pick it up immediately. Breathe a couple of times, pick it up on the third ring. I mean, no one's going to kill you. You know what I mean? And take those first two rings just to, you know, like bells of mindfulness, just to kind of come back to yourself. So when you pick up the phone, you know, you're in a relaxed mood. You're not just bum, 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 bum. Right? And I think it's the same way with your computer and things. Big, you know, you don't have the big spaces like we have here, right? But you have little spaces. And you got to begin to see, I can build in little spaces in my day, right, where I can nourish myself with mindfulness and relaxation. You know, and that's, you know, Jame is over here. She's got a couple of those little ones too. And the husband and all these guys are very difficult. you know what I'm saying? So, and you know, I mean, I raised children out of family, the whole thing. So I understand completely, but it's, you know, you know, so at that stage of your life, you know, your game plan has to be different than at another stage of life. You know, your kids will eventually get older. they'll want to drive the car. They'll want to go shopping for you so they can drive it. You know, those, it's coming, you know. You'll have more time, right? But right now, it's just, when you have young kids, it's a busy time. You know, but you have to kind of, you know, have a game plan. You know, that allows you to find little opportunities. And when you feel you're ramping up too much, stop. Take care of yourself. That's the gatekeeper. There's somebody watching Tammy's mind as she goes through a day and then reminds her, Tammy, slow down. Tammy, time to take a few breaths. Right? I mean, you can always go into the bathroom. The kids can't follow you there. I don't know. Well, they try to. But you know what I'm saying? You can always... you know, I mean, take a little longer shower or something, you know. I mean, but I'm serious, you know. But when you do that, find the time. You know, if you go in the shower and you're still thinking about all 25 things you got to do, you're wasting that opportunity. So we have to be a lot more careful. You know, for those of us who have busier lives, right? Is that clear? Yeah. And I mean, you can do it. And again, it doesn't mean that you don't make some changes, you know, in your family life where you learn, you know, to structure things a little differently. So, yeah, so it's good for everybody. Thank you. So think about your life, the life you're returning to, the real life, so to speak. Any questions? Yes, Sergio.
Going back to the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Can we compare them with filters
this is still a little fuzzy for me. So can we compare that as filters? So
it could
all
be.
The impurities will be filtered.
Yeah, I think So the question was about, you know, when we talk about the gatekeeper, can we talk about filters? It's sort of like that, but I think the gatekeeper is a simpler idea. The gatekeeper is really just a personification of mindfulness. Okay. So remember what I said. In the meditative tradition, smriti, which is translated as mindfulness, does not mean living in the present moment. It partly means being present. But the other 50% of it has this quality of remembering and recollecting where we are and what we're doing. Okay? And many of us, that has been the deficit in our meditation practice, that we have been cultivating trying to live in, you know, concentrating on the breath without this other part to remind us that we've gone off, to remind us to come back. That's the job of that's what the gatekeeper does. It's sort of like the watchman. Okay, it's just watching. Right? And it doesn't have to be like on total alert, you know, like all the time. You know, like the security guard. He just sits at the thing, and maybe every 15 minutes, 30 minutes, goes around and, you know, makes a tour of the, you know, checks the locks, make sure, you know, you're just checking your mind. Now again, when you're meditating, what's your criteria? Am I focused or am I not focused? That's the simplest criteria. Okay. And then there's a secondary criteria, which is the quality of it. You know, is my mind clear? Am I alert? Or am I sleepy? Or am I too tight? You know, that's all kind of the gatekeeper, right? So, you know, it could be very, you know, it could be more subtle. Or it could just be, you know, I'm not letting anybody in. I'm only letting these in. Okay? Filters gets a little, I understand filters, but it gets a little more complex. You know, I would just keep it, you know, this is, one of the functions of practicing mindfulness is to have this ability to watch our minds and to remember. I mean, this remembering is so essential. I mean, you know, everybody in here gets the practice. Right? I mean, you know, the teachings, the practice, especially, you know, these are not the most profound esoteric teachings of Dharma about the emptiness and non-duality. These are very simple, straight-ahead teachings. We all understand them. Why don't we practice them? You know, and we all understand they're good for us. Why don't we practice? We forget. We don't remember. And again, we talked about laziness, we talked about enthusiasm. I mean, there are lots of things that will help us to be more, to recollect more often. But that's really what's going on, isn't it? You know, we forget what we're doing or what we want to do. And so we're just trying to build up that muscle, right? And if in the past, you know, Sergio got up, did his practice in the morning, set his intention, you know, went to work, whatever you do. I don't know. In Brazil, maybe they just enjoy themselves all the time. You know, but like, you know, and all of a sudden at the end of the day, all of a sudden goes, oh, gee, I was supposed to be mine, you know what I mean? Okay. So that's like a 10-hour stretch. You know, maybe every hour now, you remember. It's getting better. All right? Every half hour, you remember. You know, and now people get all these things for their phones, you know, these little apps with little bells, you know, the bells of mindfulness. There are all kinds of little tricks that, I mean, I don't know about them, but right? I mean, I seem to understand there are lots of little things that people can hook up to their electronics that can be very helpful. They'll just remind you. Put it on your computer, and those things are helpful. See, other cultures, like if you go to Tibet, you know, there are monks and nuns walking around all over the place. Everybody's got their prayer, you know what I mean? They're, you know, they're constant reminders of practice. But you know, we don't, that's not in our culture. So I think some of these inventions, you know, we have to remind us are probably, you know, syntonic with our culture and helpful. So I'm sure you can find out about them. Good. Other questions? Think about your life. Anything not clear? Susan. Again, yeah, so the question is, Susan's got her own creative, very personal way of creating little images or sayings in her mind to help her stay mindful or to help her be much clearer about mind states or thoughts. And I would say, fine. Yeah, if it works for you, fine. I mean, we are too hung up on technique. Right? You know, those who've been around knows one of my biggest, you know, things that just drives me nuts about, you know, Buddhist practitioners is when you get together with them, all they want to talk about is how their practice is going. You know, like how your practice is going. As if somehow that's what this is about. This is about the kind of person you are. Right? The practice is to help us be a certain kind of person. Right? The practices of samatha are to help us be a calm, stable person. Calm, stable, clear mind. It's not, you know, the practice is to help us get there. Right? So, I mean, you could have a wonderful practice on your mat, on the cushion, in retreat, and yet you go home and it's just chaos. Or you're still angry, or you're still resentful, or you're still, you know, kick the dog, or you still, you know, scream at the TV, or, you know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's gotta stop. It's about the kind of person you are. Even in the face of adversity. It's like I said with, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh said, you know, when everybody's panicking on the boat, there's gotta be somebody who stays clear-headed, who stays stable. You know, that's what this world needs, right? So, you know, again, it's developmental. If that's what you need now, if that helps you now, fine. Down the line, you may not need so many images or little tricks, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but that's fine, if it helps you, okay? Yes. Uh-huh. Well, you said your gatekeeper is very severe? What does that mean? Oh, it's a he. That's interesting. Well, maybe the first thing you ought to do is turn him in for a she. maybe that's the problem. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. So this, okay, all right, let's get clear. This is not the gatekeeper. This is, you know, everybody knows, this is your inner critic, this whatever you want to call it. This is not the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper doesn't comment, right? Have you ever gone to a gated community? All right. What the gatekeeper just says what?
You can't come in, you don't have the right
attitude. Hold on, no. The gatekeeper says, hello, who are you here to see? Right? I mean, the gatekeeper, look at how you did that. Right? I mean, yeah, this is you. This is not the gatekeeper. And then the gatekeeper, you know, checks the list and says, oh, you're not on the list, but let me call them. And then he calls them, or she calls them. And if they say, no, you know, we don't know Josephine, yeah, he will not let you in. But he doesn't get bent out of shape. Does he? He doesn't criticize you. He doesn't call you names. does he? Does he or she? No, that's a gatekeeper. You know, very simple, right? They don't call anybody names, right? They're not critical. They're just serving a function. You know, that's you. That's all your stuff. You know, and why you do it, I don't know. I mean, I understand causes and conditions from the past have given you that formation in your mind, but does it make you feel good? Yeah, see, Josephine, you got a problem. You know what that is? You think you're a bad person, and without some kind of strict somebody over you, right, you're gonna act out or say something wrong. You know what I mean? In Buddhism, our mind is naturally good. You know, we come from a place of goodness. Okay. All right? And we want to support the goodness in ourselves. And you need to look at that, because obviously that's a long pattern within you, right? And it doesn't really serve you well these days, does it? No. It's time to let that one go. And just, but again, you know, you don't have to be harsh with him. As a man, I take a little offense that you call me him. That poor part of yourself, right, somehow thinks what? What does it really think? That without me, Josephine would what? Get in trouble, couldn't function. You see, I think it's time for you to sit down with that part of yourself and have a conversation. And really just say to it, I understand you care about me. You don't want me to screw up. You don't want me to make a mistake. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. But, you know, this doesn't work anymore. I can take care of myself. And if I make a mistake, you know, I'll deal with it. It's not a big deal. So I appreciate all the work you've done for me over these years. I mean, how many years has it been this guy's been working for you?
70.
About 70. Well, and in our culture, you know, usually after 30, 40 years, people retire. You know, so maybe that's the problem, just overworked, you know. Retire. And find yourself a nice female guard. All right? Just kind of, good morning. No, come on. Come back, Josephine. That's all. You know, come back, Josephine. You've wandered off. Come back. Right? I mean, that's all you need. Right? You don't need the stick. You don't need the whip. Just a gentle reminder. Come back. Be present. Okay? I think you'll respond to that. Won't you? I think people. Well, let me ask everybody else. Right, you just pretend you can't hear. If, I mean, do you respond better to kindness than anger and criticism? Yeah. I mean, most people do. You might be surprised. You might too. Okay. Yeah. So retire him. He's, you know, I feel bad for him because kind of you gave him a bad job, right? I mean, you hired him 70 years ago just to kind of beat you. You know, that's like working in a prison or something. You know what I mean? It's like, whew, it's a heavy job. Yeah. Well, he's not. I don't think he's happy either. It's not a happy job you gave him. Yeah, I don't think he's happy either. And I think whoever you learned that from wasn't happy either. Because happy people don't talk that way to other human beings, do they? Okay? Thank you. Again, anything else before you return to your life? That you're not clear how to deal with, or how to respond to. Yes. Uh-huh. No, that's fine. But you're just speaking for yourself. I mean, other people could ask you.
Remind me that that's not mindfulness. I mean, I do think of mindfulness as calm abiding, as peaceful, as loving.
No, that's not mindfulness. Okay? Mindfulness means the capacity to be present. And it also has the meaning of recollection, remembering to be present. Or, you know, mindfulness is just, again, take it out of the Buddhist context. It could be whatever you're doing, you know. Like I said yesterday, it's like you're driving, right? Driving isn't just, I'm totally present to driving, right? There has to be some awareness, I'm driving on a road. Speed limits. Lines, barriers, you know. So if I begin to go off, something pulls me back. If I begin to speed, something, right? As well as mindfulness tells me, this is my exit. I'm mindful. I remember what I'm doing. Is that clear? You know, mindfulness, just, you know, living in the present moment, you know, that's disaster. If there doesn't have any self-awareness. I mean, is that clear? So it's both. Now, you're you know, this is the problem with kind of creating images like the gatekeeper, whatever, you know, we make it more than it is. So this is, just think, let's say you're a security guard, okay? You're a freelancing security guard, okay? And you get hired for different events. All right. Today you're a security guard for this event. Tomorrow you're a security guard. You know, and the criteria for who gets in is always different. So, you know, when you are practicing concentrated meditation, right? You know, your gatekeeper, your guard is told, you know, what I'd like you to do now is to, you know, help me focus. So when I am not focused, please remind me to let go and come back, okay? And also just watch how I'm doing. You know, if I get too loose or lazy, if I get too tight, just, you know. So that's the instructions, right? During the day, you know, the instructions could be, you know, I really want to watch this mind state, these mind states. So please be watchful today. And if these mind states arise in me, you know, alert me, right? Like, or like for Tammy's, you know, Tammy might once set hers for, you know, speeding up or stress or anxiety, you know, and then so, you know, so, you know, it's the capacity is the same, but the, you know, the application may be very different depending on what we want to use it for. Yes. See.
And to
yes.
Just let those go.
Or whatever. Yeah. That, I mean, this is, you know, these are the instructions. Mm-hmm. And just so Josephine understands, it doesn't have to be harsh, it doesn't have to be punitive, it doesn't have to be critical, right? Just simple, please help me. Just help me with these mind states. It's a capacity of our mind to recollect and remember things. Remember, you know what I'm saying? It's just normal. Don't make it esoteric. Yes, Carlin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. Yeah, well. Yeah, so again, so Carlin's saying, when she first started working with the gatekeeper, she imagined the Buddha as a gatekeeper. She goes right to the top. What can I tell you? Most of us, just hiring, some local, but. Again, yeah, if it works. If that helps you. Like people say, we're in a Catholic retreat center. People say, what would Jesus do? Have you ever heard that phrase? And now I've seen stickers would go, what would Buddha do? We're kind of piggybacking on. But, if that helps you, because that has meaning to you, right? Then that's helpful. Okay? We're training our mind. If these various kinds of images or metaphors or, help us, then that's fine. All right? So that's fine. Any other questions in terms before we return to our real life? Okay. Yeah, that's good. Now we have a few minutes. Okay.
So we're working on being present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we also know that we have these issues with the past and the present that we really do all, we got to do planning. You have to reflect so you don't make the same mistakes.
Yeah, but you see so Tammy's talking about, we're on retreat. There really is no need to reflect on the past or ruminate. There is no need to plan for the future. We have the luxury of just being in the present and letting all that go. Tammy's saying, but again, in real life, there's planning to be done. There are things to be thinking about, getting ready for the next day. Kids need this, that, Yeah. So, in Buddhism, we talk about what's called directive thinking, as opposed to what people were talking about yesterday, this kind of meandering, idle, where you just, you don't even know you're thinking about the future or what, it's very unconscious. So I think what you're talking about is fine. It's like, there's some planning to do for the next day or the next week, right, or for work or whatever, and it's directed, which means you're directing it. Okay? Or, you have a little time and you want to reflect on something that happened earlier in the day or something, not to endlessly ruminate on about it so you can understand it, unpack it a little bit so you, can maybe come up with a way of dealing with it. See, that's good. We have a great mind, by the way. It's capable of self-reflection. Animals can't do that. And many human beings don't know how to use that. So I'm saying what you can say is, I can reflect on my behavior. I can kind of step back from it, be self-aware, reflect, and come up with another way of doing it. That's wisdom, You see, that's a wonderful, you know, use of, you know, the thinking mind is not our enemy. Thoughts are not our enemy. The problem is the thinking mind is out of control. The thinking mind is running things. You know, we're not running the thinking mind. So in Buddhism, one of the Eightfold Path is right thinking. You know, learning how to think clearly, logically. That's all part of it. So don't, you know, so it's important. You know, it's a good question. I mean, it's all this either idle thinking, you know, that is where we're just wasting time, or else this afflictive thinking where we're just kind of, you know, ruminating or worrying about things, you know, that there's really no need to. But that much more directed, problem-solving, solution-focused, you know what I'm saying, is good. I mean, there are many people who in their work life have really very good minds, very logical, you know, great problem solvers, but in their personal life, they're a disaster. Why? Because they don't kind of look at their personal life in the same way. You know, because there's all that emotionality. See, that's what, at work, there's not a lot of emotionality, so you can be much more clear-headed. But in our personal life, which is often our ego life, there's just all this emotionality, which kind of sweeps us away and prevents us from kind of approaching life in the way you're talking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're saying leave the emotionality out.
Well, Tammy, when you're angry, when you're resentful, when you're hurt, when you're worried, when you're scared, when you're despairing, can you think clearly? Or is that a good time to deal with anybody? No. So, I mean, what we say is, take care of that first, right? So you can, I mean, yeah, all kinds of things arise in life, right, that we have to deal with. But we want to deal with it from a place of intelligence or wisdom or compassion or, you know what I'm saying? Rather than how we often deal with it, which is this, you know, the dominant thing is emotionality. Yeah, which is just reactive. Right? So learning to, you know, to not suppress our emotions, to acknowledge we're upset or we're hurt or a little angry or scared, is just a beginning place. Then we kind of let that go, and we use that as a segue to go, all right, what's wrong here? You know, what needs to be dealt with here? Is that clear? Yeah. So this is very rational, very logical. Good. So it's just about 11. So next on our agenda is, you have a question? Well, is it a deep, profound one? Because those take the shortest time. It's these other.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if, for me, utilizing a gatekeeper is brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be most constructive for me to establish that gatekeeper during meditation rather than to try and keep the gatekeeper at the gate all the time?
Well, again, I would say, so the question is, Louise said she's kind of new to the whole thing of gatekeeper. Would it be best to just kind of develop this gatekeeper function during meditation and not try to impose it on? It's up to you, Louise. Obviously, you know, in meditation, when things are quieter and more focused, in a certain sense, you can be more aware of it. But, you know, the problem is, where do we need the gatekeeper the most? In our daily life. So, you know, slowly, slowly. You know, slowly, slowly. Take it out a little bit. Try her out. It's not that hard. It's just being self-aware. It's like just simply asking yourself during the day. I mean, it could begin like, you know, what am I feeling now? What's going on in my mind now? Right? You're checking. You know, is my mind calm? Is my mind at ease? Am I focused? Right? It's as simple as that. Or am I not? You know, it's, and to even ask that question is to remember, to recollect that you want to have a calm, stable mind. See, that's I should have never said the word gatekeeper, you see, because now I'm going to, I mean, we're just such a strange people. We want to understand this thing totally. Yeah, right. Yeah, what's, yeah. What kind of uniform should he? Yeah. Do I get a used one or a new one? Anyway. Yeah. So don't overthink it. This is just being self-aware. Remember. You know, we have to do it all the time. Right? I go into the dining room. Not thinking. I see the, what's that thingamajig you push for your hands? That hand sanitizer. And I remember, oh, I'm supposed to be doing that. You know, that's mindfulness. I'm present. Okay? Oh. Go into the, you know, the food thing. Oh. Take a cup. Oh, I forget. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's right there. It's just responding. Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's how they do it here. Yeah, we get a tray, you know. At home, we don't get